The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope.
As your young colors fly and cover such a sky, it's Pepsodent Lamp Regiment, and here's Bob Hope, the guy.
What do you use, Ipana? How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob broadcasting from Camp Roberts Hope, telling you soldiers to use Pepsodent on your teeth and you'll help this Camp Roberts. Or... This is Bob broadcasting from Camp Roberts Hope, telling you soldiers to use Pepsodent on your teeth and you'll help this Camp Roberts. Didn't we? You and I. Or, this is Bob broadcasting from Camp Roberts Hope, telling you soldiers to use Pepsodent. No matter how bouncy the jeeps, your teeth will be in for keeps.
They're jumping tonight.
Or, this is Bob... Bob Camp Roberts Hope telling all you soldiers that while you may need plenty of room for training, if you use Pepsodent, you'll never have to worry about acres. That's enough. Here I am. Here I am at Camp Roberts. Camp Roberts, that's about 2,300 miles in Los Angeles as the crow flies. He always goes a little out of his way these days to make sure the coast is clear. Yes, sir, ladies and gentlemen, what an unusual welcome I got when I arrived here. In honor of Washington's birthday, the men raised me to their shoulders and paraded to a cherry tree. But they cut the rope in time. I got a lovely reception. You know how they give important people an escort of two officers riding ahead on motorcycles? Well, for me, they had a campfire girl and a pogo stick. But Camp Roberts is just about in Central California, near San Miguel. Central California. Central California. This is where the fog from San Francisco comes down to sneer at the fog from Los Angeles. But it's really not far from Los Angeles, only about two nervous breakdowns by Jeep. But really, there isn't any great rivalry between the two cities. Los Angeles thinks San Francisco is a fine town, and San Francisco thinks Los Angeles stinks, too. But San Francisco is always like my family. They have a warm spot for my brother, the hot seat at Alcatraz. Gosh, I had a nice trip up here. You know those beautiful streamlined trains? Well, while we were riding up here, six of them passed our bus. What a bus. You know those lightning greyhounds? Well, this was a shuffling Pekingese. It wasn't exactly a large bus. In fact, a greyhound buried it twice. A greyhound buried it twice. My teeth slipped into second on the first time. I wanted to drive the whole cast up here in my car, but they decided it was cheaper on the bus. What a motor...
God, you
laugh. What a motor on that bus. You should have seen the smoke pouring out of the exhaust. Boy, what smoke. On the way up here, the bus driver picked up $5 extra for driving it through Orange Grove. And what a rough ride in that bus. I haven't been bounced around so much since I was a baby and swallowed a Hoover button. But the driver was very careful. Every time he drive through town, he'd slow down to 50 and put aside the magazine he was reading. And if it was a big town, he'd make the blonde get off his lap, too. The bus was going along, and all at once, we heard a loud explosion. The driver said, "Must be a backfire. I got no tires." And right at the beginning of our trip, we had a big letter V cut in the side of our bus, and it wasn't for victory. We were making a left turn on Hollywood Boulevard when six women drivers flew through us in battle formation. The bus went through a dark tunnel, and for a gag, I leaned over to steal a kiss from Francis Langford. Just then, the bus hit a bump. All I can say is that either I kissed the saxophone player or Francis should stop smoking White Owl. That bus was really crowded when I got on...
Yeah.
I'll be there.
That bus was really crowded. When I got on, I had a tube of Pepsin in my pocket. 2 seconds later, a kid pointed at our bus and yelled, "Look, Mama, there goes one of those white cliffs of Dover." Everyone was very comfortable on the bus except me. All during the trip, I sat right over a tire, and every minute seemed like a good year. We were going 70 miles an hour, and a cop stepped out on the road in front of us and yelled, "Stop, do you think you guys got wings?" And the next minute, he had them. I said to the driver, "How fast are we going?" He said, "I don't know, the speedometer doesn't work. It never works unless the wheels are touching the ground." All the musicians were in the bus. Once we ran out of gas, so one of the musicians took a bottle of some stuff he was carrying and poured it in the gas tank. 2 minutes later, we were arrested for driving sideways through Glendale. That was the first time I ever saw a greyhound spit in a traffic cop's eye. The whole band was in the bus, and that bus was so crowded, no matter who breathed, the accordion played. And one time, the trumpet player put his trumpet in his mouth to do a little practicing. Just then, the bus gave a lurch, and everyone fell against the trumpet player. He's perfectly all right, though, except now everything he eats has to travel in circles before it gets to his stomach. Too long. We had a nice ride on the bus. We passed Santa Anita, but some of Bing Crosby's horses are in the cavalry. They're very valuable. The Army figures shooting won't hurt them because they're full of lead anyway. But Crosby's got a novel idea for bookkeeping. Right before a workout, he pastes defense bonds all over the horse so that it crosses the finish line and the bonds mature at the same time. Thank you. Finally, we arrived here at Camp Roberts. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. Just as a gag, skinny trumpet player stuck his head out of the bus and started to play Reveille. He was buried with full military honors. I got here last night, so I had to sleep in the barracks with the men. You know what barracks are, 2,000 cots separated by individual crack games.
I didn't think you were that good.
Then the fellas in the band got sleepy and decided they wanted to go to bed. You should see how those guys sleep. The trombone player suggested they should take their shoes off first, and he was expelled from the union as a radical. I had to sleep with a soldier who had been on KP. All night long, he peeled potatoes in his sleep, and when I woke up, my big toe was ready for cooking. You're not supposed to play a portable radio all night long and keep the soldiers awake because that makes the top sergeant mad, they told me, as they tried to get my head out of the condenser. And boy, do these soldiers sleep hard. At midnight, Stokowski comes in to lead the snoring. The snoring was so thick you could hold a cup out anywhere and get it filled with Ovaltine. There was a very well-mannered fellow from Harvard sleeping at the end of the barracks. He snored with his hand over his mouth. Oh. And those guys really get undressed fast. They had their uniforms off, their shoes and stockings off, and were in bed under the blankets while I was still struggling with a second lace in my girdle. And after the lights go out, it's all very dark. In walks the best-liked man on the West Coast. He's really popular. He's the only guy in the Army with neon dice. I got into one crap game, and they let me use my own dice. I won't say I was doing well, but a stranger came along and asked, "Is this Camp Roberts?" And a general pointed to me and said, "One more roll and it will be." But you should see how the scene changes in the morning. Reveille blows bright and early in the morning, and as soon as they hear it, all the soldiers very peppily, with one motion, shove their heads under their pillows. I tried it to make it in breakfast in time, and boy, did I dress in a hurry. I got into my clothes in about 2 minutes and started for the mess hall, but a strange power seemed to be holding me back. A strange power. I had both my feet and one leg in my pants. And I took a shower in the morning, and you should see the mob in the washroom. It's the first time I ever scrubbed my chest with both hands while two hands scrubbed my back. And I had to shave with three soldiers all using the same mirror. I made all out all right, though. I can always wear my hat tipped over to one side so people think I have two ears. But everybody's playing Army Camp. But everybody on the radio is playing Army Camp. Now, every week, there's a whole new show at each Army Camp. In fact, when I arrived here today, the sentry said, "Halt, who goes there, friend or vaudeville act?" You know, everybody has said vaudeville's dead, but now I know where it went. The government drafted it. After one of my camp shows, one soldier turned to another and said, "That shows you, Joe, vaudeville ain't dead, it's just hope." In my old days of vaudeville, I really played plenty of tanks, but an army show is the first time I've ever been chased by one. But that's a fact. All the comedy programs that come to the army camp is getting out so the soldiers don't know which they're getting more of, beans or corn. Shows go to the army camps. I know one fellow waited for a ticket for 3 years, then he finally enlisted so he could see the Jack Benny program. And now we'll have a little, should we have a little stuff in here? You got a commercial?
Yeah.
That's enough. Good. Thank you. And now we'll have, you don't want to read it. Read, just go ahead. Read a part.
Yes. Every Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush you buy contains a cash
certificate. Oh, that's jolly. Go and sit down. That's fine. Thank you very much. We now have Francis Langford and the Six Hits of the Miss singing Daydreaming. Come on, Francis. Six Hits and a Miss singing Daydream. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce one of Hollywood's favorite comedians, currently seen in the RKO picture Playmates and long a member of the Pepsodent gang, our old friend Patsy Kelly.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, Patsy, how do you like it here at Camp Robert?
Oh, it's simply scintillating, my dear. Simply scintillating. But to put it in plain English, the jump's jointing.
I guess you're surprised to find me broadcasting from an army camp.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Bob. I knew sooner or later this program would need government protection.
Just a second. I'll have you know the men at the army camp really like me. Why, the last camp we broadcast from, they presented me with a medal. See, there it is.
That doesn't look much like a medal to me.
Well, it's not exactly a medal. It's a shell that got flattened out on my bulletproof vest.
Well, I don't believe a word of that. that, Bob. I don't believe it. The fellows at army camps wouldn't injure you for anything in the world.
Well, gee, thanks.
No, sirree. All those boys are regular guys. Why, they'd never hurt an old man.
What do you mean, old? Well, I'm in perfect physical condition, except I got a broken arm last week.
A broken arm? Why, Bob, how did you get that?
Well, I was over to a friend's house, and I reached for a second teaspoon of sugar. I'm not in such bad shape, though. I look pretty military, don't I?
Oh, you sure do. Why, when you walked into camp, two soldiers looked you over carefully, then one turned to the other and said, "Gee, look at that thing over there. Camouflage is a man."
Wait a minute, Patsy. Haven't I got military bearing?
Military bearing is right. Your chest looks as though it's retreating, your tummy as though it's advancing, and the rest of you just hangs around and watches.
You know I'm the real athletic type. You
uh-huh.
should see me bright and early every morning playing tennis with Hetty Lamarr.
Oh, now, wait. I suppose you're going to tell me that you jump over the net after each set and kiss her.
Well, I could say that, but I'd be an awful liar since she put up that 40-foot net.
Yeah. You don't look so bad. You've lost a lot of weight, Bob, haven't you?
Yeah, how'd you know?
Well, you walked the board. Oh, dear.
Try the whole thing.
Yes, right over here. Yeah. Say, so you've lost a lot of weight, haven't you, Bob?
Yes, but how did you know?
When you walk, the balls don't creak anymore. It's no good anyway.
Throw it away, shall we? I wish I didn't either, but do you realize, Patsy, this is the first time you've been on my program in 3 years?
That's right, Bob. Say, let me look at you. You certainly are a feast for my eyes.
And there's Professor Cologne over there.
Yeah, gosh, he's certainly a feast for my eyes, too.
And there's Skinny Ennis.
There I go on a diet again. Well, I never thought I'd see Skinny Ennis in an army tent. A weak shrimp like him.
An army cap? Oh, they have... Say, a weak shrimp like Skinny, what do you mean?
Well, I always thought I had a better chance of being drafted than he did.
You know, Skinny isn't feeling well. He was eating an olive a while ago, and he swallowed the pit.
How do you know?
I heard it play the scale as it passed his ribs. You know, Skinny's gonna be drafted.
Gosh, you mean they're drafting Skinny?
Yeah, what's wrong with the Army taking Skinny?
Well, if they want Shorten and Bread, why don't they go to Nelson Eddy? Gee, Bob, it's great to be back on the show with the old gang. Say, remember the time you walked into the sponsor's office and kicked for a raise and he kicked you out of the window?
Patsy, the sponsor did not kick me out.
Oh, no? When you came flying out of that window, the president of Lockheed took one look at you and got his inspiration for the P-38.
Oh, but the sponsor treats me much better now. I hardly ever use the whip anymore. You know, it's 3 years since you've been on this program, but I bet people still remember that you used to be on this show.
Oh, not so much. I hardly ever have to carry my brass knuckles anymore.
Say, Patsy, do you remember how you got on this show 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, you saw me one day, and the first...
I jumped a line on you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to say that. Turn him in. Some of the new members I saw.
That's perfectly all right, yes. Say, you saw me
say
one
Patsy,
day.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I'll join you.
Patsy, you remember how you got on the show 3 years ago?
Yes, you saw me one day, and the first thing I knew, I was on your program.
That's right.
Then I saw you on payday, and the next thing I knew, I was off it.
Oh, Patsy, you know very well I used to pay you pretty good money.
That was the trouble with the money you paid me. It was just pretty good. I always got caught trying to pass the stuff.
Are you inferring that the money I paid you was counterfeit?
Well, the dollar bills were a little on the bogus side.
How do you know?
The February 22nd issue had a picture of George blowing out the candles on his cake.
That's nothing. On the $5 bills, Abraham was shaving with a Schick razor. But, Patsy, what have you been doing since you were on my program?
Making a comeback.
How can you say? You've been listening to the program, haven't you?
Oh, certainly. I hear your program every single month. I don't think I've missed a thing.
Every single month? I'm on every single week.
That's right, Bob. I don't think I've missed a thing.
We've had some very exciting shows. If you don't believe me, I'll show you the bruises.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, whatever happened to your friend Yehudi?
Oh, he got a new job. You know that song, Deep in the Heart of Texas?
Yeah.
Well, Yehudi's the guy that claps four times.
Hey, I hear your brother's at a camp up this way. Is it out in the country like this?
No, the camp where they've got my brother is more in the middle of a harbor. His work is harder than these fellows have here.
What do you mean? These boys do plenty of hard work. I just saw a couple of them peeling potatoes. What can be harder than that?
You ever try to peel a rock?
What's your brother in for?
Well, you know the epidemic of tire stealing that's sweeping the country.
Yeah, I know tire stealing is sweeping the country, all right.
Yeah, well, before they caught my brother, he vacuum cleaned 3 states.
Trouble in my family, too. My brother's in the hospital now. He fainted and fell down and fractured his skull.
Gee, that's terrible. What made your brother faint?
Well, he went into a drugstore and bought a package of cigarettes, and they gave him matches with them. Say, what are you doing for defense,
I'm
Bob?
I'm surprised. I thought that was a yak. I thought that was going to be a big one.
What are you doing for defense, Bob?
Well, I'm going into a uniform as soon as I get back to Hollywood.
You are?
Yeah, I'm an usher on the swing shift at Grauman's Chinese. Say, but isn't it great up here at Camp Roberts, Patsy? Have you had a ride in one of those jeeps yet?
What's a jeep?
That's the malted milk machine that got drafted.
Well, I went for a ride in a jeep this morning.
What'd you do?
Just sat there and got seasick.
Well, I think your jeeps are very sturdy. You ought to see how strong they look underneath.
How do you know how a jeep looks from underneath?
Well, I was driving down Wilshire Boulevard the other day, and one of them flew over my car. See what happened this morning when they were testing them? Edward Arnold came up here and sat down on one.
What happened?
In 3 seconds, it went from a jeep to a heap. Say, have you been making any pictures lately?
Yeah, I'm over at RKO now.
Really? Well, I'm over at the Paramount lot.
Yeah, I know. I like to watch you parking those cars.
You want to buy a hot inner tube? Say, but you've been pretty busy, huh?
I just finished a picture with Kay Kaiser, you know, Playmate.
Yeah, who else is in the picture?
Well, there's John Barrymore.
Barrymore? I saw him down at the Red Cross Blood Bank the other day donating.
Yeah, well, how much did they take from him?
3 pints of pure alcohol. Say, how is it working with John Barrymore, Patsy?
Oh, he's a darling. He's a barrel of fun.
He is?
Mm-hmm. He keeps it right in his dressing room.
Well, you know, we shouldn't be too hard on Barrymore. After all, it was he and W.C. Fields who gave this country its great motto, keep him flying.
See, the war has even affected Mr. Barrymore. He and W.C. Fields can't have any fun, can't have the fun they used to have.
Why not?
They've both been grounded by the 4th Interceptor Command.
Hey, Patsy, don't you think I have a nicer profile than John Barrymore? Mm-hmm. Don't you think my nose is more perfectly shaped, more beautifully formed than his?
Of course. I better humor this guy. He may be dangerous.
Why, Patsy, don't you think I have a beautiful nose?
Uh-huh. You must let me stand under it sometime and it rains.
I'm sorry, I'm in California. You'll have to tell me. What is rain? By the way, what time is it? What kind of parts have you been getting in pictures lately, Patsy?
Well, you know, Bob, I've been playing sophisticated, refined roles in pictures. No more of that rough stuff. Now I'm the Katharine Hepburn type. I walk into a room in a swanky evening gown. A fellow in top hat, white tie and tails comes over, bends down and kisses my hand.
Then what?
A little jiu-jitsu and he slaps his back and I'm strangling rats with blood. I don't know yet what I said.
Oh, brother. I thought you said you were the Katharine Hepburn
type. Well, of course. Something new has been added. What have you been doing, Bob?
Well, I've been pretty busy. Did you see my last 3 pictures caught in the draft? Nothing but the truth in Louisiana Purchase?
Oh, sure I did, Bob. And say, they were the 3 finest pictures ever made.
Really?
Sure, why stand here all night arguing?
You know, I don't like the way you applaud. You know, I just finished a picture called My Favorite Blonde.
What's the name of the picture?
My Favorite Blonde.
I heard him the first time, but a plug's a plug. Say, you worked with Madeline Carroll in that picture, didn't you?
Yeah, well, how'd you know?
Well, that chain they keep you on leaves a mark around your neck.
Oh, Madeline, you should see the evening gowns Madeline wears in this picture.
Are they flimsy?
Flimsy? Well, she was just about to walk out of her dressing when I heard one silkworm say, for goodness sakes, Maddie, stand still, I'm not finished yet.
I visited your set over there. Every time you made a love scene with Madeline, it reminded me that you worked for the Pepsodent Company.
When I made love scenes with Madeline, what could possibly remind you that I worked for the Pepsodent Company?
Well, every time you kissed Madeline, they had to unscrew the cap off your head.
Tell me, Patsy, have you had any particular heartthrobs lately?
Oh, yeah, I've had a few new heartthrobs, but they've been a little weak.
Weak? How do you mean?
Well, when I want a date, I just stand outside the draftee medical examiner's office and wink at the reject.
Say, Patsy, I understand that the director of your last picture, Playmates, was Dave Butler. You know, he directed a couple of my pictures.
Yeah, Bob. After I finished making one of my comedy scenes, he called me a female Bob Hope.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm. Think I got a case?
Patsy, are you inferring that I'm not much of an actor?
Oh, not at all. In fact, I think you should get an Academy Award.
Really?
Honest, Bob. I have never seen such acting. The way you walk around acting as though you've been acting is...
I'm not doing so bad. Why, remember that dressing room they gave me when I started at Paramount 4 years ago? Just a tent with a flap?
Yeah?
It's cold these mornings, isn't it? See, I remember the first day I got to Hollywood. I didn't even have enough money to see a movie, so I tried to sneak into the Chinese.
Yeah, I know. You were the first celebrity who ever got Grauman's footprints.
Just the same, I've come a long way since I arrived in California.
You certainly have, Bob, considering you came out here to sell pretzels on Highway 66. Now look, you're getting peanuts.
Wait a minute, Patsy. Do you know how much I make a week over at Paramount?
No, go ahead. Lay it on thick. What is Paramount paying you, Bob?
Five bills.
Five thou or five hun?
Five hun, and not so loud. It's almost March 15th. Morgsaw will hear you. But are you doing anything besides your picture work?
Oh, I'm pretty busy with the fence, Bob. I just joined a woman's class in first aid.
What do you do?
Oh, we roll bandages.
Where do you roll them?
To any corner on Hollywood Boulevard. But really, though, when we want to practice on a real accident victim, we do go down to a corner on Hollywood Boulevard.
Well, how can you be sure somebody's going to get hit?
Oh, we don't leave it to chance. Some of the ladies wait on the sidewalk with their first aid kits, and the rest drive up and down the street in their cars.
Say, it must be interesting work.
Sure, one guy came in with a sprained wrist. Two women tugged the wrist back into place, and two more bandaged him up, while the rest are on the stomach and try to keep him breathing.
Well, why tell me all this?
Well, we thought you might want to chip in for flowers.
Have you done any work on soldiers yet?
Oh, yes. Just the other day, a soldier came in with a broken leg, and I bandaged it for him.
Oh, was it a good job of bandaging?
It must have been. He's now in the Museum of Natural History, third mummy from the left. And another thing, I've been practicing artificial respiration for weeks.
Oh, that's nothing. Skinny Ennis has been practicing it for years. Hey, Kathy, what is the first thing you do in your first aid class?
Well, first we get a man to act as a patient, then we take his pulse.
You take his pulse?
Yeah, his pulse, yeah.
His pulse?
And last night, Skinny Ennis was the patient, and we girls went crazy just hunting. Next, we give the patient artificial respiration.
Oh, I give artificial respiration. Suppose the poor guy's burned his hand.
He gets artificial respiration and likes it until Friday night when we study burns. We do, four girls bend down and pick the patient up on a stretcher. Then one of the girls show us her manicure. Then we bend down and pick them up again. You know, Bob, one of the most important things we study is how to tie bandages. Watch, I'll tie a bandage on you for a broken arm.
But, Patsy, I haven't a broken arm. That wouldn't be logical.
Give me your hand. Now it's logical.
Patsy, look what you've done.
Stop fooling. I didn't really break your arm.
Maybe not, but look, it can make a V for victory in any direction.
Fix a broken arm. I'll yank the bone right back into place again. Give me a hand.
Okay.
Now, what should I do now? One, two, three, yank.
Well, I can always carry it home in a bag.
Hey, Bob, I've been meaning to ask you. Do you still have that fellow on the show that, you know, the guy with the mustache? I'd like to meet him again.
Oh, you mean Professor Colonna? Well, I'll call him. Hey, Professor Colonna, I want you to come out here and meet a beautiful girl.
Coming.
And here she is, Patsy Kelly.
Going.
Come back here, Professor. I have a surprise for you. Look who's here.
Well, hello, Professor.
Hello, Joe. What do you know?
Hiya, Beaver Lip.
What's up, Joe? Familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah, and that mustache you got there could breed almost anything else. Say, is that a mustache or are you wearing a toupee at half mast?
I think the professor's mustache looks nice. What have you done to it?
I had it rat-proofed.
Really?
Yes, I forced them to move out. Family of gophers offered me more money.
Well, one thing puzzles me, Professor. Why is it you've never let your mustache grow to sharp points?
Didn't want to make my head jealous.
Oh, Professor, you haven't changed an iota.
No, I'm still wearing the same old one. Say, who is this creature, Hope? Why, Kelowna. That's Patsy's line.
Don't you remember me, Patsy Kelly?
Why, certainly. I'd know that face anyplace. Why don't you have it recapped?
Yes.
Oh, I remember you now. You're the little girl who used to carry the torch for me.
Carry the torch? Why, you little squirt, you wouldn't even cause a backfire in my cigarette lighter.
Now, don't you kids argue. And you, Professor, be nice to Patsy. She hasn't been with us for 3 whole years now.
That's right. I haven't been here for 3 whole years.
They're trapped on the other side of Sunset, eh?
Well, you haven't even said anything about the way I look, Professor. Have I changed any?
Oh, not a bit. You're just as beautiful now as you were 3 years ago. And that's an insult if I ever heard one.
To think you were once in love with me. Why, I knew you were in love with me. It was very, very easy to tell.
Ah, yes. I used to wear my heart on my sleeve.
What made you stop?
Too confusing for my veins and arteries.
Professor, tell me, don't you go for me anymore?
Oh, sure, you're just the kind of girl I've been dreaming about.
Oh, Professor.
You think I can sue the Ovaltine Company?
Professor, you told me yourself that Patsy is beautiful.
Of course she is. She has Hedy Lamarr's eyes and Molly Dietrich's hair and Dr. Cowan's teeth.
Oh, come, you two shouldn't fight.
That's right, porcupine puss. Now, I've been away about 3 years, and I want you to know that in that time I've become a lady. And now you may kiss my hand.
Kiss your hand? What for?
Then it won't be so obvious when I bash in your teeth.
You should have seen the night Patsy left the show. I gave her a great big kiss, and she was as cute as little Boots and Puss.
Kelowna, Puss and Boots.
Boots and Puss. Puss and Boots. Boots and Puss. Puss and Boots. Well, you kiss her and see how she boots in your puss.
Why, I don't think Patsy would mind if I kissed her, would you, Patsy?
Hey, wait a minute, Hope. I didn't come on this program to be kissed by an idiot.
Yeah. You see, Hope, now one side and give a moron a chance. Yeah. Say, Patricia, will you marry me?
Why, Professor, this is so sudden.
It ain't half as sudden as the notice I just got from the draft board.
Professor, what's this? You mean you gotta marry Patsy or be drafted?
Yes. Gruesome choice, isn't it? Though they can't draft me. I was in the Spanish-American War.
But, Kelowna, that was 42 years ago. You must have been just a baby.
Yes, in fact, the Spanish general held me in his arms when he surrendered.
Oh. Well, you were a baby. Why did the general hold you in his arms when he surrendered?
Where do you think he got the white flag?
Oh, Professor, have you got bats in your belfry?
Yes, but don't worry. Tonight we'll set traps. Patsy, you must forgive my idiotic behavior, but on this program, I have to act like a regular Sample Simon.
Not Sample Simon. You mean on this program, you act like a regular Simple Simon.
Simple.
Simple.
Look at my salary, Simple. It's only a sample.
Have you been saving the salary Bob pays you?
Yes, I have it all here in my little piggy bank. Watch, I'll shake it out of my little piggy bank. Be ticklish. But just think, Patsy, you've been away for all these years, and here I am still working for Robert.
You mean working for Bob?
Robert.
Bob.
Robert.
Bob.
What's the difference? When his back is turned, we call him Stinky anyway.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Patsy Kelly. And Patsy will be with us again in a few minutes, folks. And now Betty Hutton gives out with Arthur Murray Taught Me Dancing in a Hurry. Arthur Murray Taught Me Dancing.
Life was so peaceful at the laundry. Life was so calm and serene. Life was stray gay till that unlucky day. I happened to read that magazine. Why did I read that advertisement? When it said it seems I rumba DMZ, I'm surprised. Why, oh, why did I ever try? When I didn't have the talent, I didn't have the money, and told me to take it from there. Arthur Murray then advised me not to worry. I had a natural bent. He was a mistaken fault. I'd taken a bend me to quite an extent. The people around me can all sing a one and a two and a three. But any resemblance to Austin, it's a just go and sit down with me. Cause Arthur Murray taught me dancing in a hurry. And so I take a chance. To me it resembles a night day tremble, but he guarantees it's a dance. My tango resembles a two-step. Marumba makes people turn pale. A conga goes into a goose step. Till the FBI is dog on my trail. Cause Arthur Murray taught me dancing in a hurry. Maybe the stars were wrong. If I ain't a minister, Ruth St. Dennis, I'll do it to one. Comes along. A turkey trot, organ fight, don't know which, you don't know what. Jitterbug, Barney Hunt, long as you kind of rock. Bump the dog to the clock, Lindy Hop, then you drop. Follow the jack, back to back, cheek to cheek to your weak.
Caught me dancing in a hurry, and here's Mr. Gage.
I'll bet you that your present toothpaste
That's
isn't
enough.
Doing
all right,
anything
hit it.
There's nothing so enjoyable as a good book.
You'll come early the next time, won't you?
There's nothing so enjoyable, is it? Thank you, thank you. Next Wednesday, fellas,
okay. He said, "Oh, I've got a fix with that tea to come back to the program."
Imagine the general standing up in the grill and looking and says, "Hold everybody, Gage, you may leave, but it happens."
So enjoyable as a good book. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you're down in the dumps, read The Life of Bob Hope. Down there, it sounds good. Yes, folks, tonight we... Yes, folks, tonight we again delve into the story of Bob Hope's life. They got me covered. Yes, the story of that same Bob Hope who was listed as one of the 10 great Americans in this year's Hoo Hoo. One of the 10 great Americans in this year's Who's Who of Azusa. When Bob Hope first arrived in California, he started out picking grapes, but he soon went on to bigger things, oranges. At this point in his career, Bob looks to the future, and he stares at the long, winding highway of life. Well, what do you know? He's looking down his nose. Recently, Bob staked his entire career on his performance of his new picture, My Favorite Blonde. He vowed that if the critics liked his performance, he'd continue acting in the movies. The picture was previewed a few weeks ago. The following day, Bob joined the Army. He does very well in the Army. It's not long before our Robert distinguishes himself in action. And in recognition of his manly qualities, the general calls him up before the troops and pins a coveted ribbon on him. And our hero says, proudly,
"Gee, Skin, don't I look cute with this bow in my hair?"
As tonight's sketch opens, Bob is a soldier, and he and his companions are pretty excited because today Miss Patsy Kelly has offered to have any soldier in camp over to her house for dinner. So the regiment conducts a raffle to see which one is the lucky soldier. Honest General Colonna approaches the bowl and pulls out the number.
Who holds 22?
I do.
I do.
I do.
Yes, I sold too many.
While the boys are excitedly drawing numbers to see who will be the lucky winner, hostess Patsy Kelly, assisted by her two pals, Francis Langford and Betty Hutton, are preparing a big dinner for the lucky soldier. They've done everything they can to make the evening a pleasant one. They even changed the wallpaper in the room from old colonial to new Esquire. Now, here they are.
We invited to dinner will be here any minute now.
That's right, Patsy. But why don't you stop being so nervous about it?
Nervous? Who's nervous? I'm not nervous.
Well, come on down from the ceiling and walk on the floor for a while.
Now, don't forget, Patsy, when the soldier comes here, we girls got to take turns entertaining him.
Oh, don't be silly. Do you think one soldier from Camp Roberts could manage three girls? And lead me to them.
Patsy, what makes you act like that?
Oh, gee. I'll never forget the last time I went out with a soldier.
Yeah? Did they act differently in 1917?
Yeah. Now, just a minute, Peroxide. One more... just one more crack like that and you'll be wearing open-toed teeth.
Have a real party here tonight?
Oh, no. We're going to have more of a sophisticated and formal greeting.
That's what I love. A crab game.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Do I look like the kind of a girl who would be running a crab game in her own home? Well, get the dice.
You know, soldiers are romantic. One of them told me I was beautiful. And a soldier told me I was the prettiest girl he ever met.
And another soldier told me I was so young, so graceful, so charming.
One soldier told me I was his favorite date and that I'm a bladder girl.
Well, one told me I'm so cute and so dainty.
Where does an alien go to register? Hey, Betty, while the soldier boy is here, I want you to try and act like a lady.
I will.
And when he comes in, you won't jump on his shoulders, will you?
Oh, no, that's Francie's job. Yeah. I tackle him at the knees.
Well, it's nice of you to leave his ankles for me.
Say, I wonder who the soldier is anyway. Do you know, Patsy?
Oh, I don't know. They're going to draw lots, and whoever gets the lucky number is coming over here. It'll be just my luck some goon wins.
Oh, they're all nice boys. There are no goons at Camp Roberts.
There is now. Yesterday, Bob Hope was drafted.
Listen, I came over here to have some fun. Let's forget about flagpole face.
You think Bob is bad? You should go out with Skinny Anna sometime. I went out with him to a nightclub the other night, and Skinny had one drink and got up and yelled, "I'm living."
What happened?
He was arrested by the FBI for spreading false rumors.
Well, I still think Skinny is a cute, lively type.
Francis, Skinny Ennis couldn't be the life of the party at a mortician's convention.
Did I tell you what happened the other day at the Army camp when I went up to visit Skinny?
Mm-hmm.
A tough corporal was bawling him out, and Skinny said he was going to shove his fist right down the corporal's throat.
Did he do it?
Do it? He overdid it. And that corporal sure looked funny with Skinny's shoes sticking out of his mouth.
I hope we have enough food for this soldier tonight. Soldiers like to eat a lot. once had a soldier over to my house for dinner, and I served him a 2-pound steak smothered with lamb chops.
Steak smothered with lamb chops? Did he like it?
Oh, yes. He ate it in about 4 seconds, then turned and smiled at me and said, "Gee, what wonderful hors d'oeuvres."
Yeah. I once had a soldier over to my house for dinner, and I served him a can of hash and a can of beans.
Did he like the can of hash and the can of beans?
Oh, he seemed to like them because he kept smiling all the time he was bashing my head in with the can.
Tonight.
Oh, don't worry. I hired a special chef to prepare the food this evening. Pierre Colonna.
Pierre Colonna? Who recommended him as a cook?
The Women's Ambulance Corps. They said they needed practice with their stomach pumps.
Well, didn't you hire anybody to help him?
Yeah, I hired a famous chef special for tonight. Did you ever hear of Oscar of the Waldorf?
Yes.
And George of the Ambassador and Henry of the Brown Derby?
Yes.
Well, this is Philip from the Vine Street Beanery. Eat your hash and dance.
See, are there going to be 2 soldiers here tonight?
Yeah, and let's not fight over them. Now, Francis, you take the one on the right, and I'll take the one on the left. And Betty, you can take the one in the middle.
Hey, now, hold on. What's the idea of giving me nothing?
What do you mean, nothing? When 2 soldiers are out for a good time, there's always an MP in the middle.
That's still nothing. It's swell of you inviting 2 soldiers here for dinner.
Yeah, well, maybe so, but it'll be just my luck to get one with thick glasses and no face.
Oh, you needn't worry about that. Oh, you needn't worry about that. The Army isn't taking anyone with glasses.
Yeah. Been down to your local draft board lately? Gee, I wonder if we'll be through with dinner. I wish I knew the exact time that we'll be in the parlor sitting on the couch with the soldiers.
The exact time? Why?
I have to call up my electrician and tell him when to make that short circuit.
Gee, I wonder whether they're romantic-minded soldiers.
Are there any other kinds? Now, listen, kid, seriously. Let's hang a mistletoe here.
But it isn't Christmas.
That's
right.
And the soldier won't kiss it out of season.
Naive little characters, aren't they?
What kind of perfume you got on, Francis?
Oh, it's a new exotic perfume. It's called Love Under a Lilac. $5 an ounce.
How do you like what I'm using? Music and Magnolias. $10 an ounce.
Wait, get a load of this I'm wearing.
Ooh. What is it?
San Pedro seaweed. 2 bits a gallon. You know, our soldier boys should be coming along soon. In fact, I think I see them coming down the street.
Gee, I wonder what they're like.
Yeah, now I can see them. Cheryl, did you ever hear of the Son of Fury?
Yeah.
Well, here come the Daughters of Calm and Collected.
That is right.
Look, here comes our soldier boy up the walk. What's that thing with him?
Well, it's either Skinny Ennis or a gopher that walks on his hind legs.
Gee, look at those 2 goons. Now one of them is sailing a paper boat in the gutter.
Well, what's the other one doing?
Sitting in it and staring.
Well, you look at that small one. Where his chest ought to be, it's absolutely vacant.
What about the big one?
Well, he looks vacant too, but up higher.
Gee, look, now they've stopped on the sidewalk to talk to each other. I wonder what they're saying. Wish I could hear them.
George, I'm glad you come with me to this party tonight. There'll be a lot of food.
So what?
There'll be a lot of drinks.
So what?
There'll be a lot of girls.
So what?
Will the beneficiary on this policy please step up and collect? Oh, Skin, I just heard a girl's voice in the darkness ahead of here. I can't see her, but I think she's alone. I'll say hello to her. Oh, you, miss.
What do you want?
Darn it, she's convoyed.
Oh, don't be afraid of that guy, Bob. I'm not. The Army's made a man out of me. I feel big and strong. Watch how I act toward him when he comes over to speak to us. Hello, fellas. Hey, you. Get off the sidewalk and let me pass.
Why, yes, sir.
You know, I wish there's more of them midgets.
Well, here comes that tough private in the next tent. Let's see you talk to him that way.
Okay. Hey, you!
What do you want?
Get out on your knees and polish my shoes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now do mine, Skinny.
He can't do that to you, Skin. You're tougher than he is. Sock him.
Okay. Hey, take that.
Oh! Get up on your feet again, Skinny. You're stronger than he is. You're a better fighter. You can punch harder.
Man, don't tell me. Tell him.
Oh, forget him, Skin. Let's get going to the party.
Well, anyway, I got dressed up for this party. Sam Brown belt, gun, and everything.
Skinny, you don't have to use a gun to make a girl kiss you.
Yeah, what do you use?
Oh, just a simple combination, half Nelson and headlock. This army life has done wonders for me. Don't I look great, Skin?
Now, with that bag under your eye.
Oh, it's just a ruffle under my eye. That's not a bag.
Looks more like a duffel than a ruffle. Say, Bob, you sure got all dressed up for this occasion.
Do I really look okay, Skin?
Yeah, you look swell. I ain't never seen you before with your fatigue suit all clean and fresh. Hey, you're lucky you won this chance to come out here tonight, Bob. Everybody in camp drew straws to decide it, and you had the biggest straw.
Yeah, I won by a mile.
Yeah, how come you won so easy?
Well, right next to me was a horse, and the horse was yellow, the tail was near, and the hair was long.
Bob,
the joke is lousy. The egg is round.
Bob, you know, I hope there's some nice girls at the party.
There'll probably be two girls there, Skin, so if there are, you take the homely one.
Why should I take the homely one? I'm a man, ain't I? Like anybody else? Well, I hope she has teeth.
Yeah, I hope this girl's like the girl you got for me last week, Skin.
Well, I thought she was a real pretty girl, Bob.
Oh, she was pretty enough, but when we danced, her toupee kept falling off.
I thought that other girl you danced with was much too short for you, Bob.
Yeah, and you know, she suspected I had water in the knees.
She suspected you had water on the knees?
Yeah, every time I did a fast rumba, she'd yell, "Wail off the starboard bow." Ken, this party is being given us by society girls, so when you get inside, I want you to behave like a gentleman and a soldier.
Well, make up your mind. Which one?
Hey, you men.
Us?
Yeah. What's the idea of not saluting your superior officer? I'm a sergeant.
Well, we didn't know. After all, you're not wearing a uniform.
Yes, and you'd be surprised how chilly it is walking around this way.
At least that guy can do his sew chevrons on his long underwear.
What are these girls like?
You ever read Esquire?
Well, I don't do much reading.
And Esquire is just the magazine for you. I'd like to make an impression on these girls. Hey, Skinny, tell me honestly now, who do you think is the handsomest soldier in our camp?
Well, you're the handsomest guy in our camp, Bob.
You really think so?
Well, I sure do. Now, put me down. You make me nervous holding me over this open manhole. Hey, Bob. Hey, look, there's somebody over there in the dock stealing a guitar off a car.
Police! Police!
Shut up, will you? I'm a policeman, but I need him too.
Skin. Look, this may be a rippy home that we're visiting, so remember your manners. Don't tuck your napkin under your chin.
Where do you put your napkin, Bob?
Oh, don't be ignorant. Anybody knows where you put your napkin. You unfold it carefully, smooth it out, then pin it to your necktie.
Gee, I hope at this place we're going to have a swimming pool.
Why, Skin?
Well, I hate to carry my turtle around with me.
Here's the house. Let's go in.
Come on, Bob. I'll ring the bell.
Skinny, they must know you're with me. I wonder what these girls will say when they see me. Well, set them up in the other alley. Hello, Betty. Hello, Francis. Hello, Betty. You remember Skinny Ennis, don't you?
Yeah, remember how sad we were the day he died?
Now, wait a minute, woman. I ain't dead. When a man's dead, his pulse don't beat, his blood don't circulate, and he doesn't breathe, he... Doggone, maybe she's right.
Say, girls, you don't seem pleased to see me.
Well, Bob, we expected our soldier guest to be a big, handsome fella, just dripping with charm and dripping with personality.
Yeah, and we wind up with one big drip.
What about me?
And a slight drizzle. Come, let's not argue. Let's have fun. Do you boys dance?
Why, yes.
Good, you two dance and we'll watch. You know, it's been over 3 years since I last saw you. You've changed a lot.
I have? You're looking better.
Well, the last time I saw you, you looked as if you were ready to drop over.
And now?
You look as if you were dropped and bounced up again.
Just a minute, woman. You see my muscle?
Yeah?
Where is it? I've been looking for it for years.
Gee, just look at those fellas, Francis. They ain't in very good shape, are they?
Good shape? That's the first time I ever saw Rigger and Mortis hand in hand.
Hey, Bob. Look, that's Betty Hutt and my sweetheart. Why, Betty, my beloved, how I miss you and love you. Gosh, I'll keep on loving you always. I'll love you as long as there's a breath in my body.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the shortest love affair in history.
You'd be better be careful how you talk to Skinny. He's a real soldier now.
Yeah, and I'll prove it to you. Come here, Betty and Francis. Let me put my arms around you. That's it. Now, I'll put my arms around Patsy at the same time. I'll hug all three of you. Now, all of you kiss me.
What was that?
My corpuscle called for reinforcements.
Hey, Patsy, I'm starved. Where's the cook? Where's the food?
Well, I've hired a special cook to prepare this meal tonight. He's in the kitchen. Oh, hey, a cook, what's your name?
I'm the Grand Chef. Pierre Colonna, famous for my roast pheasant under glass, noted for my lobster a la Salvador, idolized for my toasted squab and mushroom sauce, acclaimed for my fresh duck with vine. Say, lady, tell me, how do you open this can of beans?
Professor, how in the world did you ever become a chef? How'd you become that? How'd you get to be there?
Chef?
How'd you ever become a chef?
Oh, I one of those big hair. Well, I did.
How do you open this? Professor, how in the world did you ever become a chef?
Oh, I won one of those big hats in a crap game. Well, I gotta get busy making the meal. Now tell me, Hope, to make a chicken soup, you just put a chicken in boiling water, don't you?
That's right, Colonna. You just put a chicken in boiling water.
Chicken, stop washing yourself with lax.
Colonna, you fool, before you cook a chicken, you're supposed to take an axe and kill it.
Oh, I'm supposed to take an axe and kill it first? No, Chicky. I won't toss you to see who uses the axe.
Oh, never mind the chicken soup. Just give me some eggs.
Oh, come on. Okay. Chicky, lay an egg. Try again. I want a bigger egg. I knew a pigeon who could do better than that. Come on, one more try. A big egg. Say, Hope, hit a bowl again.
You're a dope if I ever saw one.
Hope, you got a mirror in your house?
Yeah.
You saw one.
Oh, let's forget about Colonna, gang. Let's have some fun. Let's have a spelling bee. The men against the girls.
Oh, that wouldn't be fair, Robert. We outnumber you men 4-1.
See, I read Francis' line. Yeah, it sounded more natural that way.
Come on, kids. Let's get the party going.
Yeah, Bob, turn on the radio. There ought to be some good music on.
Okay.
Rose O'Day, Rose O'Day, you're my... From Duty, eh?
I knew that damn shirt would throw us off. Anybody wears a shirt like that has got to louse something up. Look at that shirt that went out with button shoes. Come on, let's go. Buy one, just so we can hear it.
Okay. Rose O'Day, Rose O'Day, you're my...
First guy I ever heard who knew all the words.
Well, never mind the radio, Bob. Let's play the Victrola and dance again.
Okay, but this time somebody else be the needle.
Hey, I'm having a little trouble here in the kitchen, and I'd like some advice. How long am I supposed to boil ostrich eggs?
Ostrich eggs? Colonna, where in the world can you get eggs that size?
Every Tuesday night on the Pepsodent program.
Well, what do we do with that one?
Set you the straight line, stooge.
Okay. Say, I'm hungry.
Would you like some clams?
Are they steamed?
Well, they've been sitting all day over a hot smudge pot. Maybe I better take the straight line.
Colonna, I don't think you're a chef at all.
Oh, don't be silly, Hope. Why, I've prepared crepe suzettes in France, I've made plum pudding and mutton in England, and I've served smorgasbord in Sweden.
And what is your favorite dish?
Fish. Funny yakisaki, lots of seafood, mama. What do I care what they got on the hit parade?
Professor, I can see you're not going to get the dinner prepared all by yourself.
Yes, I wish I had someone here to help me with all this cooking. It's driving me frantic.
Colonna, not frantic. You mean it's driving you frantic.
tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, tick. Time marches on.
Any sense to him. Let's get some life in this pocket. Let's play some games. Say, would you like to play spin the bottle?
Oh, no, after all, you're a woman of the world. I'm a man of the world. We can certainly find a mutual ground for conversation.
Yeah?
What's your high run in pocket billiards?
Yeah. I can see we're not going to get any place for conversation.
What started that?
Yeah. Maybe we better go into the kitchen and help Kelowna with the cooking.
No, no, don't come into the kitchen. I'm very busy in here with a hot roast.
Oh, Professor, kiss me.
One of the prettier parts.
One of the peroxide pots.
Corona, what's going on in there? Oh, I can kick you that light.
Don't say peroxide. Don't say peroxide.
As though people don't know.
Kelowna, what's going on in there?
Be quiet, Hope. Nothing's wrong. You're making a mountain out of a Mel's hill.
You mean Mole's hill.
Mel's.
Mole's.
Mel's.
Mole's.
Anyone listening to the program knows it smells.
Professor, what about dinner?
I hope you know that fried chicken I'm making for you. I think that chicken's too tough.
What makes you think the chicken's too tough?
Well, it's been on the fire for half an hour and it just stuck its head out of the frying pan and said, "What's cooking?" I'll serve the dinner in a minute. I'm waiting for some caviar I ordered.
Hey, here you are. Here's the caviar.
What was the matter with him?
Ran all the way from Smolensk.
He didn't look like a Nazi.
Well, I'll serve the dinner now. Kelowna, you're supposed to serve from the right. Why do you serve from the left? I'm an old tennis player.
Well, say, tell me, are these pig's feet fresh?
Are they fresh? Look, you can still see the marks from their garters.
Listen, Kelowna, get back in the kitchen and finish working.
Okay, sugar, but how about a little kiss? For...
Why, I've never been so insulted in all my life.
That just shows you what happens when you want to do someone a favor. I'll go back in the kitchen. Say, I just finished tasting this steak I made, Hope.
Well, what are you laughing at?
Who said there's a shortage of rubber?
Dinner finally ready?
Ah, yes, my bossy little hoppy. Everything Chef Kelowna has prepared is now cooked except the electric eels.
Kelowna, you're the chef and you're serving us electric eels?
Yes. Shocking, isn't it?
How far can you put your eyes out? Say, Professor.
Yes?
I smell something burning. You better take a look in the oven.
Okay, I'll look in the oven. What do you know? That Japanese gardener wasn't evacuated after all.
Listen, how much longer will it take for dinner?
Well, dinner will be late. It'll take 3 hours to cook the elephant.
Florida, why on earth would you cook an elephant? We only asked for gumbo soup.
Gumbo? Great Scott, I thought you said Dumbo.
Be a smash to the kids this week. Oh, isn't it? Well, we're starving. Just serve us whatever you got ready.
Okay, Hope, get ready. I'm going to send in the first course. Okay. On your mark. Get set. Go.
Florida, what are you sending in?
Frog's legs.
That's ridiculous. Frog's legs could never run anywhere by themselves.
Big son of a gun, worth it.
You men of Robert Post, we leave you with a toast. May fortune be your portion. You've all been the perfect host. And thank you so much. And thanks for the memory. Folks, keep your victory grin through all things thick and thin. Just get behind the men, behind the guns, and we can win. They'll thank you so much. If of freedom and home you are fond, folks, make a try just to buy one more bond, folks. That's America looking beyond, folks, with confidence in our defense.
Next week, folks, we'll be back at the same time, broadcasting from Camp Cook at Lone Park, California.
with that great sportsman Babe Ruth and the regular gang and
Bob Hope.
Private Benny. Thank you.
Goodbye.